Good day to you, and we are grateful and thankful for ourselves to be able to be here and to be on this medium of the radio, and we're glad that you're listening on the other side of the radio. We are especially interested in hearing from you today about what questions you have about the Bible. As you know, this program is called Let the Bible Speak. Emphasis upon letting the Bible speak, even though we are the voices behind the mic. Our goal is to look at the scriptures and to see what they say. You may have a question, something in the scriptures, something about life, something about God, something about salvation that is of concern to you, and now is the time for you to give us a call. And we encourage you and invite you to call throughout this whole 90-minute session, and to participate in the program. You can do so in one of two ways. You can call the program, the station here. That number is 308-9564. Or if you choose, you can text us at 725-9283. Now, when you call the station, some people want to go live on the program, and so when that is the case, when you do call up and the person answers the phone, then you tell them that you would like to go live on the air, and that puts you in the front of the line, and so we can get that taken care of as soon as possible. Again, we encourage you to call in and ask your Bible question because this is a live call-in program, and so the questions that you send in are the questions that we will talk about and deal with. And so we invite you to do just that, to participate in this program and to help us and help others, because there'll be other people out there who have the same questions you do, and you can help them by having your questions sent in. So we encourage you to do that. Ricky?
Yes, we are live, so go ahead and call right now. 308-9564, that is the number for our voice line. Now, if you'd rather text, if you've got a cell phone and you'd rather text, be sure to text us at 725-9283. And those of you that are recommending people from other areas or other parts of the country, please let them know that this is area code 843. So all the phone numbers are area code 843, and they would be 843. Our voice line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. We also want you to be aware of, we're going to be announcing, this is the last time that you will hear us on the radio before our meeting in Goose Creek, our gospel meeting there in Goose Creek. So be sure to stay tuned for that. We'll give you more details. That's this coming Friday and Saturday night. As the program goes on, we do want you to know you would be welcome. As a matter of fact, we would be honored to be able to meet you face to face. That's this coming Friday and Saturday in Goose Creek, and so we'll give you more details as we go along. But we have a couple of questions that we will get started now with, and here is our first question that was called in today, and it's tragic. It says, what do you do when a church closes because they didn't pay the light bill? Well, first of all, I would fire, if I were y'all, I'd fire whoever was in charge of that, and hopefully they would repent. But obviously, if it has been a length of time where they can't pay bills, well, then anyone that would be in charge of that, the Lord expects us to stay within our means. And so we should make certain that we are Romans chapter 13 and verse 8 tells us to owe no man anything except to love one another. And so we are to pay our debts. If God expects it of us individually, then certainly churches ought to pay their debts as well. And so that is unfortunate, and there is sin involved in it, and so there would need to be some repentance certainly involved as well. The Lord tells us, except we repent, we shall all likewise perish. And so we've got to turn away from sin, no matter who does it and when, if we are expecting to be pleasing to the Lord. Now, as far as you being part of a church, if that is a natural process or a natural occurrence with the leadership of that church, if I were you, I would be very careful Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11 tells us, have no fellowship, do not participate with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, correct them, depending on your translation. And so that's Ephesians 5 and verse 11. So that is a sad dilemma indeed. It is a slap in the face of everything that is called Christian. And unfortunately, there is more and more of events like that taking place every day. Unfortunately, that's going to be the case, because as long as man is planning to do what man wants for man's reasons, then Christ is going to be less and less glorified as he should be by our obedience to him. We've got to do what God says. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. Ephesians 5 and verse 11 tells us what to do about that. Thank you for your question, and thank you for listening today. Again, the voice line is now available, 308-9564. I think we just lost a call. We apologize for that. If you will, just go ahead and call back. You can get through right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Steve, you have a question?
Yeah, we have a question left over from last week, and we try to get those at the very beginning of the program to make sure that everyone who does call in will receive an answer. But sometimes we just run out of time. And so this one has to do with Genesis 2:19. And so hopefully the person who asked the question is listening yet today. The question was this: how could Adam stand the presence of God when none else could? Well, that's an interesting passage, because we know that most of the references we have about someone being in the presence of God, that it was kind of a frightening thing. In fact, there were even people like Moses who wanted to have a more intimate knowledge of God and sight of God, and God said that no man can see God and live. Well, in Genesis 2:19, what is different about this situation is it's the Garden of Eden, and this is before the sin of Adam, and so there was complete harmony between God and Adam, which was not is not the case of everything after the Garden of Eden, when sin was introduced, and therefore man and his relationship with God was divided, was separated. And we see a passage like that in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, where it says, your sins have separated you from God. So you recall in the Garden of Eden that in Genesis chapter 3, that man was cast out of the garden due to their sin. So the situation in Genesis 2:19, that sin was not prevalent, was not an issue there, and so he could be in the presence of God and there not be any problem. Thank you very much for that question. That's an important question to ask, important thing to consider, because what will separate us from God is sin. And we can have that problem taken away and be restored in the presence of God if we have our sins taken away by the blood of Jesus. One hears the gospel, believes that gospel, repents of their sins, confesses faith in him, and is baptized, that person can be baptized into Christ and look forward to the promise of eternal life, the hope of eternal life, and be with God yet again, just like Adam was in the Garden of Eden. So we appreciate that question very much. Voice lines are still open, 308-9564 to call, and the text line is 725-9283. And so we encourage you to call.
Yes, and we're just about ready to go to break, but we want you to know before we go to break that this coming weekend in Goose Creek at 105 Maryland Street in Goose Creek, that is just one block from the intersection of Highway 52 and Highway 176, or St. James and Goose Creek Boulevard. And you are welcome to join us for Friday and Saturday evening for a Let the Bible Speak session live. And they're in the building. And so we want you to come and join us to where you bring your Bible questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your heart and mind. We will also share with you some of the very important message from God's Word that may be not communicated in other places, other denominations, in the pulpits across the land, because of the many different restrictions that denominations do have upon their people. And so we want to just follow what God says, and we're going to find the answers, all of them, in God's Word. And so, again, that this coming this weekend from 9:30, on Friday and Saturday from 6:30 to 8:30. So try to join us. We'll have packets of information to give to you free of charge. It will be all absolutely free. There was not, will never be a collection at these events take place. And so please try to join us this coming Friday at 105 Maryland Street at 6:30 on Friday night and Saturday night. We look forward to meeting you in person. Now, here's information about our Bible correspondence course, and you can go ahead and enroll in that right now. While we are at break, continue to call in your questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answer as we let the Bible speak. Now is your chance to get in your question. Go ahead and call in those numbers, and you'll be able to join us. You'll be able to get your question answered on today's broadcast. Again, the voice line, 308-9564. The text line, which has been quiet so far, but we'd be glad to hear from you, that's 725-9283. Now, if you know people that live outside the broadcast area, then you can call them and let them know that they, too, can tune in through our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone.com, and they can hit the live stream button to listen to the broadcast anywhere in the world. And if they would like to text us, they can also text from our website. Down at the bottom of the opening page, you will see a box where they can type in their question, and it will be sent immediately to us here at the station. So either way, you would like to join us, go ahead and call in your question or let people know about the broadcast, and we will be glad to go to the Bible for the answer to those questions. Now, by the way, the Bible correspondence course that we just mentioned is free, and that number is open 24/7, where you can listen to a message every day at your convenience. And then the course, when you receive it in the mail, you can study that anytime. So if you're a night owl and you'd rather study in the middle of the night, then go ahead and get it in the mail. You can study in the night and then fill it out and send it back to us, where we will grade it and send you the next lessons, and it will be back and forth like that until the end of the first course. And then we have several courses in line. And again, they're all free. Most churches today are restricted from telling the whole truth. But we all want only the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So let's make certain that we find the answers before we meet God face to face ourselves, because he will be our judge at that moment. So let's remove the blinders that the wicked one has put on us, and let us seek the truth for ourselves, so that there will be no surprises on that day of judgment. Again, the number is 308-9564 for your voice question, or you can text us at 725-9283. Steve, you have a question?
Yes, we have a question from Johnny. And Johnny asks, why are women allowed to be called pastor and preach the gospel in the church? Well, the answer to that question may well be you'd have to ask whoever is allowing women to be called pastor and preach in the church. And when you look at Matthew chapter 21, it's interesting there because Jesus, in conversation with the Jews, asked them about the baptism of John. And he asked this question. He says, the baptism of John, is it from heaven or from men? And what Jesus tells us there is that there are two sources of authority. One is from heaven, and one is from man. Now, heaven says, the Bible teaches, that pastors are elders and overseers, and they are the husbands of one wife, 1 Timothy chapter 3 tells us. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 tells us that women are to be silent in the church, and 1 Timothy 2 tells us that a woman is not to teach nor usurp authority over a man. And so that's the word from heaven. That's the authority of heaven. So if you want to please God, then you, of course, will coincide and agree with what his teaching is in the scripture.
Where are those verses at again?
1 Timothy chapter 2.
Verses?
Verse
11 and 12.
11 and 12. Okay. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37.
34. Through 37. 34 through 37.
And so read those passages and look at them. And then you have to take those passages to the person who is allowing a woman to preach and be a pastor and ask them how they can do that, they can justify that.
Reconcile it.
Yeah. So we appreciate that question, Johnny. Others who may have questions yet on their mind, the voice line's 308-9564, or you can text us, and that number is 725-9283. And remember, the meeting that we've been announcing here just briefly yet, but you'll be hearing about throughout the program, that at Goose Creek on 105 Maryland Street, Friday, this coming Friday, January 31st, and Saturday night, February 1st, at 6:30 p.m., and we invite you to come out and to meet us. We'd love to meet you, and we'll talk about the evidence for God's existence. We'll talk about why we believe the Bible is inspired, about how to become a child of God, and talk about the church that Jesus said he would build. All of those are very, very important topics that you will be edified by, and hopefully you will learn things from the Bible that you'll discover some things that you've never maybe known were in the Bible at all that will be faith-building, and it may even be the result of your becoming a child of God. What a blessing and an opportunity for you to join with us Friday and Saturday of this coming week.
And it's a blessing for us, too, to meet you. And we end up learning as well. Many times your questions challenge us to where that we learn things that we've never, ever thought to study about. And so we appreciate you very much and your questions. One that sticks out in my mind here recently, someone asked a question about tithing, whether tithing was money or not. And no one had ever asked us that question before, and that was just kind of a surprise. And so as we studied that, we found out that no, tithing was not about money. It was about consumables that the Levites could live on. And so that was quite a surprise, and we sure are thankful that that question was asked, because that was something we never even thought to look at and to consider. We always thought it was just about any kind of prosperity, but it sure did show up as just consumables. And so we appreciate your questions so very much. You are a blessing to us, and we sure do appreciate you. We have this caller calling in. They want to know, in the last days, should Christian denominations come together in unity? Should Christian denominations come together in unity? Well, first of all, let's look at the phrase last days. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, it says, God in sundry times and divers manners and times past has spoken unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Now there, according to the Hebrew writer, that the last days started in the first century. Matter of fact, you might think, okay, well, maybe that's a typo. Well, in Acts chapter 2, the very first sermon that was preached by the apostles was in Acts 2. Peter was preaching chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. As he explains the events that were unfolding, he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, he said, this is that, in the last days. So first of all, the last days began in the first century, the day the church began there in Acts chapter 2, according to Acts 2 in verse 16 to 17. Well, your second part of your question is about Christian denominations. Well, in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, there God, through Paul, says, I beseech you, I beg you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. So there it describes them as that God pleading that they would speak the same thing. Thus, there were no denominations in the first century. And if you doubt if that was God's intent, all you have to look at Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, where he's praying He prays for the 12, and then he says in verse 20, he says, neither I pray for these alone, but for them that shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So there he's praying that we would all be one. Wow. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, Paul says, I preach everywhere in every church. Now, how many churches do you think that we here would be allowed to preach in the Charleston area? Yeah, that's right. Not many. Why? Because we're all we're going to do is teach the Word of God. But you see, those churches do not want to hear the whole Word of God, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Well, a couple more verses. I hope you're writing these down. That was Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, second, or Acts chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, 1 Corinthians 1, 10, John 17, verse 20 and 21. Well, Ephesians, God says through Paul, Ephesians 4 and verse 5, there is one Lord, one faith, one faith. He said in verse 4, there's one body. So if there's one body, also Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23 says the one body, which is the church. So that means there's just one church. So my friend, the Bible doesn't talk about denominations. And the only hint concerning such divisions as that is strongly condemned. Whoa. Now, I bet you haven't heard that very often, have you? Well, those last two passages were Ephesians 4 and verse 5 and Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. It's just one body, one faith, one church. And that church is supposed to be completely already unified in Christ, following only his word, the truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. I pray that may occur. But unless someone's willing to only follow God's word and let the Bible speak and be the final word, it will never occur. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. We have a couple of questions here we're going to deal with. The next question that I have in my hand is, how was God created? Rita, we're going to get to your question in just a little bit, so stay tuned for that. And those of you that are still going to join us after the top of the hour and a break, we want you to know that this is a live broadcast. We'll get to your questions on the air today, but you must call them in if you want the answer from God's Word. The voice line is 308-9564, 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. You can communicate either way, and we will get to your question on today's broadcast. Please remember about the meeting this weekend at Goose Creek in 105 Maryland Street. Maryland is M-A-R-I-L-Y-N, so be sure you write down the spelling if you're going to use GPS. 105 Maryland Street, M-A-R-I-L-Y-N, and that will be 6:30 both Friday and Saturday evening. And so we hope to join you this and meet you face to face so that we can let God speak to your question. And there we can talk back and forth. And so we're glad to be able to be of service to you. So try to join us this weekend, Friday and Saturday at 6:30 at 105 Maryland Street in Goose Creek. And we will let the Bible speak in person. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We want you to know that we're glad to be able to be with you. We hope and pray that the study so far is a blessing to you and that we are able to direct you to God's Word so that you might be able to be blessed from such an effort as this. Make certain that you check all of these things from God's Word so that we might be able to be blessed, you might be able to be blessed, and we might be able to be of service in helping you. Don't forget about the meeting this coming weekend, 6:30, each night, Friday night and Saturday night. And the address is 105 Maryland Street, right at the intersection of 52 and 176, right there where they cross. You turn down beside where Verizon Phone Store is on the corner, and that's Maryland Street, and we're half a block on the left. And so we'd love to have you join us. Again, that's 105 Maryland Street, Friday and Saturday night at 6:30 each evening. We hope you will be there and thus be able to have all your answer, all your questions answered, and that we might be able to share with you more resources in studying of God's Word. Mark it on your calendar. Lord willing, we'll be able to see you. Now, if you have a question you want to ask us, the voice line is available, 308-9564. The text line is available, which is 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to your question. Steve, you have another question?
Yes, Ben, who is a frequent caller, called in and had a question about Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. Ben, we appreciate the question. And if you read that verse, it says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." So there are really two parts to this question that Ben asks. One is, are we living by this law? And secondly, how are these things revealed? Well, let's go up into the context of chapter 29 and look at verse 1. It says, "Now these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he had made with them in Horeb." So this is the covenant that God made with the children of Israel, the Ten Commandments and all the other laws about sacrifices, about building the tabernacle, about the altar of incense, about the showbread, about all the kinds of laws that we can read about in the Old Testament. Laws that even said, if your son or daughter are talking back to you or disobedient, they are to be taken out and be stoned. So all of those laws were commanded to the children of Israel. And that's the covenant that he was talking about. Now, in Jeremiah 31, in verse 31, Jeremiah prophesied of a new covenant, and that new covenant is the New Testament, where the gospel of Jesus Christ and his shed blood is the thing that cleanses and not the blood of sacrifices. So the answer to that first question is, no, we're not living by this law, but we're living by the law of Christ that we can read about in the New Covenant in Acts through Revelation. The second question then Ben had is, how are these things revealed? Well, the covenant that's being talked about here in Deuteronomy 29 was revealed by God through Moses. Now, the New Covenant has also been revealed, but it has been revealed by Jesus. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "Jesus came saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" He came preaching the gospel. And then in John chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. This is prior to his trials and crucifixion. He says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he'll not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and disclose it to you." So the Holy Spirit's job after Jesus went back to heaven was to continue to guide the apostles into all truth. And then in 2 Peter, that also is referred to in chapter 1 in verses 20 and 21, where the writer there, Peter, says that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own private interpretation, but no prophecy was ever made by the act of man, of human will, but by men moved by the Holy Spirit. And so that's how the things of God are revealed in the New Covenant. And of course, that is what we can read about today in the New Testament, because that promise that Jesus gave to the apostles, they would be guided in all truth, was fulfilled. And that's what we have, the faith once for all delivered, as Jude verse 3 says. So, Ben, we appreciate so much that question. We were able to get a lot out of that, a lot of good information that is helpful to us. Again, if you're out there and got a question, 308-9564 gets you into the station here. If you want to text us, that number is 725-9283, and both of those are 1-800-843 area codes. And we invite you to participate in the program. Join us here as we delve into God's Word to find the treasures and mysteries that are revealed to us in God's new covenant.
We have Kim calling in this question. She said, well, y'all mentioned tithing not being money. Where is the scripture to prove this? Okay, Kim, that's a really good question, and thank you. There's a whole bunch in the Old Testament dealing with tithing. I would just encourage you to take out a concordance and look up every single passage and read the context of every one of them. But if you want to see where money is involved, here is a reflection of that. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 through 26, but it's not going to be what you think. You're going to see there where if someone has a grain that was produced by a year and they were going to take it and give it to the Levites, but they couldn't carry it on the journey because the journey was far or too long, that they were to exchange it for money, take that money, add 20% to it, and then they were to buy, once they get there, buy whatever commodity there was before they actually give their tithe and then give that commodity, whether it be an animal, an oxen, a sheep, or a goat, or wine, or drink, whatever it was, then they were to convert it back to that consumable and give it to them. And so there, that's Deuteronomy 14, verses 22 through 26, and there's where the closest thing is you can get to that. And because they had to change it, exchange it, then they were supposed to add another 20% to that, or one-fifth. And so you can see that there's just one example. Well, I'll tell you what, Kim, we're going to do, and hopefully you have access to an internet. We're going to post a document on this for you to study in its entirety at our website, which will be www.biblealone.com. And you go to the Bible Study Resources tab, and there you will see a number of Bible studies that we have put on there that are dealing with questions that are often used. Some of them dealing with women preachers or pastors. Some of them dealing with tithing in general. Some of them having to do with the way that we are supposed to give to God. And, of course, then we're going to post this one as well. And so just check out sometime this week, and you will be able to hopefully find that on there, and you will be blessed from the study of it. Thank you, Kim. Again, that passage, that one passage I pointed out to you where it mentions both, was Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 through 26. I hope that's been beneficial to you. Again, thank you, and we hope and pray that that will be of blessing to you as you look in the Bible. The voice line is available, 308-9564. The text line is active now, and that is 725-9283. And we look forward to your question. Steve, you have another question?
Yeah, speaking of tithing, the person asked the question here, I'm not sure of the name. It says, people that don't go to church and still pay the tithe, are they still in good standing with God? So what I'm understanding from the question is the person doesn't go to church, but they still pay, they still send in their tithe. Are they in good standing with God? Well, I'll direct you to the comments that Ricky just gave about tithing and that not being money per se, and it not being part of the new covenant concerning giving. That would be 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. So I encourage you to look up that passage where it talks about giving as we have prospered. There's no set amount that is prescribed there. And according to the overall question about doing some things but not doing others in our relationship to God, let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, because that passage is very, very helpful and important as we think about just doing some things that God says and wondering if that still is going to be okay with God. So if you turn to Matthew chapter 7, and what's interesting about that passage is that Jesus talks about this idea about doing some things, but maybe not doing all things that God has said. So in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus says this, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." So We've got to do all of the will of his Father in order to go to heaven. But then verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and in thy name cast out devils and in your name done many wonderful works? And here's what Jesus responds to people who were doing some good things. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so it's important that we not try to do some things and not do others. But let's give our full self to God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 talks about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed in renewing of our mind. And it also talks about in verse 1 that we give ourselves a living sacrifice. Now, sacrifice means sacrifice. You give yourself up to God completely. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul, and with all our strength. Not part of our heart, not part of our strength, but all. So I would encourage the person who asked this question is to find out what the Bible says, New Testament teaches about giving, about worship, about becoming a Christian, and do all that God has said. You know, we can only be approved of God if we study to show ourselves approved unto God. That's in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. So the answer to this question would be, make sure that we don't leave any stone unturned. We don't left any deed undone, no act of obedience left out, but to give ourselves fully and completely to God. We appreciate that question, and we pray for those who would seek to do everything that God says. We're up on a break, and we'll have to take a little bit of a break here from our being on the air. But listen to this advertisement you're going to hear for a Bible correspondence course, and we invite you to take your pen and pencil out and take down that number and make the call. Thanks a lot for joining us through the break, and we hope that you were able to listen to the information about that Bible correspondence course. It is a great course, ladies and gentlemen. I study with a lot of people during the week who have taken that course and really, really enjoyed it and appreciated it, and even now are taking a second course. And so that will be just a recommendation to you from a nameless number of people that we see every week, and even people here at the radio station. They began their study of the Bible by going through that course. It is such a great blessing for you, and we encourage you to do that. Now, if you're anxious to call us and you've got a question on your mind, 308-9564 is how you get hold of us here at the station. You want to text us at 725-9283. And, of course, as you've just heard about the Bible correspondence course, you're still kind of thinking about that and trying to decide. Just call that number, 553-5157, and give your name on the phone, the recorded message, and they'll get that out to you yet this starting tomorrow. When we'll start mailing that out. So we'll take advantage of that, and we look forward to seeing you and talking with you and studying with you through the mail. And also, we look forward to getting the chance to see you at the Goose Creek meeting on 105 Maryland Street in Goose Creek, January 31st and February 1st, Friday and Saturday night at 6:30 p.m. And we really invite you to come out and be good to see you.
We have a text question from the last three digits of 724. Their question is, how can one be sure about their salvation? Well, that is a really good question. There's a lot of times, a lot of different things that are taught out there that leaves that a gaping hole and to where that someone does not know that their conscience is still got question marks in it, whether they really are right in God's sight or not. And the reason I think that's such a good question is because that's exactly what I went through a number of years ago. And then someone pointed out, well, why don't you find your answers in the Bible? And so that was a new concept because I always listened to the preacher. And so then once we started studying, I found out that the Bible did not want a question mark. Matter of fact, it makes it very clear exactly how you can know whether or not you are saved. For example, Mark 16:16 adds two elements to it where it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned or damned, depending on your translation. So there's two elements mentioning belief and baptism. It doesn't mention repentance. Luke adds repentance, that repentance should be taught in Luke 24. And verse 46, 47, and also Luke 13:3, Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So the repentance is involved in that as well. But again, so we have belief, repentance, and baptism. Romans chapter 6, Paul describes his baptism when he says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. So there, that shows that step, that action, actually put one into Christ Jesus. Now, if we're not in Christ, we have nothing as far as spiritual blessings. We've got to be found there. But you ask about saves or salvation. So let me give you one other verse, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21, where it's talking about how Noah and his family were saved through water, verse 21. I know that many we'll talk about this and say, no, it was the ark that saved them. Well, let's just stick with the Bible. It says that they were saved through water. And then it says the next verse, 21, and the like figure one to baptism does also now save us through the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Now, if you were following me in that verse, you'll notice that I left out the parentheses because I wanted you to see that by itself. So make certain that you look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Because it tells us what baptism is not and what baptism is. It says it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it is an answer of a good conscience before God. So there is the step that is often left out and why so many in our religious world and so many listeners to this radio station have big questions, question marks about their salvation. Because that element, that step, is seldom taught in the denominational world, that baptism is also necessary for salvation, for someone to be in Christ. Those passages again were Mark 16:16, Romans 6 verses 3 through 7. Read all those verses. And then 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. And if you doubt whether Paul actually had his sins washed away at that point, if you read Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias will answer that and forever remove all the question marks concerning when his sins were washed away. He himself told Paul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. End of statement. Hopefully that's helpful to you. We sure appreciate your question. There's no sense in living this life with a question mark about eternity. We can wholly serve Him with our whole heart by following the truth and nothing but the truth. And, of course, God will then do exactly what He promises and thus wash away our sins. Thank you so much. Hope that's been helpful to you. Again, the number is 308-9564. That line is open and available. Ready for you to call in your question right now, 308-9564. We're going to try to speed up on these questions because they are piling up, but we still have time for yours. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Steve?
Katie calls in with some interesting questions about some word definitions that are familiar to us in the Scriptures. She asks, what does abased, abound, and usury mean? Well, abased is found in Philippians 4:12, where Paul says, I have learned to be abased and to abound. And those words have to do with his economic condition, with out support and when support came in from Church of Philippi, for instance. And so he had learned to be content in all circumstances. So to be abased, to be brought low, that is when he wasn't doing so well with his support financially. To abound is to overflow. It's also found in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 12, that we may increase and abound in love for one another. So to overflow, to have plenty to share with others. And usury means interest, as in charging interest, like a bank does. It is typically used throughout the Old Testament because the Jews were not to collect interest on money they loaned to their fellow Jews. An example of that is in Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 10, where Nehemiah rebuked the Jews for extracting, charging interest or usury from their fellow Jews. It is used also in a parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 20. And talent is a measure of money. And remember the person who had the one talent, he said, you should have put it in the bank and collected interest, usury. That's the same thing. So, Katie, we appreciate those questions. It is important to know the definition of words. And so we appreciate these questions, and you probably helped a lot of other people out, Katie, by asking these questions, and we appreciate that so much. We've still got time. We've got still got questions.
Yes, yes. There's more coming in, and so please go ahead and call your question right now, 308-9564. We're about to go to break, but I want to get to this question right quick. Their question is, in heaven, it says, my question is, if you're married and your husband dies, and if you never marry again, when you die, are you and your husband still one in heaven? Well, the very similar question was asked like that to Jesus in Matthew chapter 22. And their question was, therefore, in the resurrection, I'm reading Matthew 22, 28, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven shall she be? For they all had her. And Jesus answered, and of course answers your question in this as well, says, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like the angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So anyway, as he was answering that question in verse 30, he lets us know it will not be about marriage or being one with our mate in heaven. That's contrary to our Mormon friends, where they say that marriage will be eternal. No, there's no heavenly marriage. Now, will we know these people in heaven? Yes, we will know them. It's very obvious from that when in the rich man and Lazarus story, somehow the rich man knew that was Abraham that he was looking at and talking to. And so then when Peter and James and John, having never seen Moses nor Elijah, when Jesus was transfigured, they knew that was Moses and Elijah. So that we will know one another. But as far as marriage partners, no, there's going to be something far more important than that going on in heaven than marriage obligations. Thank you so much for your question. It is time for us to take our next break. We want you to know we only have one third of the program left. 30 minutes left, so go ahead and continue to call in your questions. The number is 308-9564. That's 308-9564. That's the voice line. The text line is also available, 725-9283. Don't miss out. Get your question on air today, and we will let the Bible speak. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we are so glad that you're joining us this afternoon. You are to be commended for your interest in knowing what God has to say from His Word. And we will do our best to only speak, thus says the Lord, and may you continue to study these things so that we all will be able to hear God say to us one day, well done, good and faithful servant. Matter of fact, we are so thrilled that you are showing such interest. We want to invite you to come out this coming weekend that we may continue this in person. If you at all can come out this coming Friday, the 31st, or Saturday, the 1st of February, we want you to join us in Goose Creek We're inviting everyone in the audience to be able to join us. And please come if you can this coming Friday and Saturday. That will be at 6:30, both Friday and Saturday evening. We'll have a packet of information to give you to begin with and give you resources to be able to ask the questions. And we are honored to be able to meet you, and hopefully you will be able to challenge us as well as we try to go to the Bible for all the questions that pertain to life and godliness. So come out, if you will, this coming Friday and Saturday. The address, if you have a GPS on your phone or otherwise, the address is 105 Maryland Street. That's Marylyn Street in Goose Creek. And we would be glad to meet you at this coming Friday and Saturday at 6:30 at 105 Maryland Street as we let the Bible speak in person there in Goose Creek, South Carolina. So join us if you can. Again, 105 Maryland Street. And now we will get returned to these questions, and so we have some very good ones on deck and still more coming in. You better hurry to get your questions in, and we will be able to let the Bible speak to the questions on your heart. Steve, you have another question?
Yes. Rita calls in with this question. How was God created? I guess that's not such an outlandish question, because everything that we see around us has a creator, so why not God? Well, when we look to the scriptures, we find God being described there. And here's some of the passages that we find. In Psalms chapter 93 in verse 2, it says, "Thy throne is established from of old. Thou art from everlasting." Eternal is the idea. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 17, it says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And so, again, the terms used here to describe God the King are eternal and immortal and invisible. And then there's some other passages. One's in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 12, and it describes God like this: "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One?" And so these are the kinds of ways in which God is introduced to us, is described to us in the scriptures, both Old and New Testament. Eternal, everlasting, immortal, without end is the idea, and without beginning. And so God is eternal. He is the one who made everything. And by definition, he was not made by anyone. He is self-existent. He's eternal. And so, Rita, we appreciate so much that question. And that's, I think, a thoughtful question that you gave to us, and we appreciate that so much. Got other questions? Please call us in. We've got several here lying in front of us, and the phones aren't ringing presently. So 308-9564 or 725-9283. Ricky?
Yes, I have a couple of questions here I'm going to combine. One of them is from Johnny, and Johnny wants to know, what is baptism? Thank you, Johnny, for that question. Well, and I'm going to go ahead and combine this question with it so that the same passages will be applicable to both. Does one have to be baptized to participate in communion, and is sprinkling in the Bible? Well, wonderful questions. Well, first of all, let's go to the first part of the question, that is, what is baptism? The word baptism means, it's actually a Greek word, baptizom. It is Greek. If you were to translate that Greek word into English, it would be immersion. And so, first of all, just the word itself defines what kind of process this is. It is immersion. And you think, well, you mean to tell me I've got to know Greek in order to figure that out? No, you don't have to know Greek in order to figure that out, because we can see in Colossians chapter 2 where it says baptism is a burial. It says, "Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." Now, I want to also go back one verse here in Colossians and read Colossians 2 and verse 11. That shows a part of this baptism has to do with our covenant that we enter into when we become one of God's children. Now, in the Old Testament, circumcision was commanded of the children of Israel on the eighth day, and thus they were to be physically circumcised. That was a sign of the covenant with God, that they belonged to God. Now, at 8 days old, they had no idea of the covenant that they were entering to. It was their parents that did this. But they would understand, and that would be a sign to them in the future, that they were obligated to honor and serve God as their God and their Creator. And that was a forever sign that they belonged to Him. Now, here it mentions this, but also gives a application to us now in our age. In Colossians 2 and verse 11, it says, "In Him," that is in Christ, "you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Now, some way, somehow, Christ circumcises us, and we enter into that covenant relationship with God in that process. Well, how does Christ circumcise us? Well, we stopped in the middle of the sentence, so let's read on. It says, "By circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, which and also you're raised through Him by faith in the working of God who raised you from the dead." And so baptism is the process by which we today enter into our covenant relationship with God. So we do not enter that covenant when we believe, because even the devil believes and trembles. It's not through just confession, because even the demons confess faith in Jesus. And it's not even just with repentance. There were some that were repentive in Matthew chapter 7, we read earlier, and God said, "I never knew you." But it's all of these plus dying with Him in baptism, being buried with Him in baptism, where God Himself is the one that we enter into that covenant with. Now, I bring that out to you. That was Colossians 2, verse 11 and 12, to be able to answer the second question, and that is, does one have to be baptized to participate in communion? Well, part of communion, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27, you'll see there that it is, this is the covenant, the blood of the covenant where we are remembering when we partake of the fruit of the vine or the cup. It is the blood of the covenant. So when we become a child of God, we enter into a covenant with God. So what do you think? Should the communion be offered to those that are not entered into a covenant relationship with God? Well, it's a sign of a covenant that we are remembering. And so they would certainly need to be in a covenant relationship with God, which includes or actually consummates here in this baptism. Now, you might say, well, what if someone that is not a Christian eats of the communion? Well, Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." So if they're condemned because they're not a child of God already, how much more condemned can someone condemned be? Yeah, I agree. So if they are outside of Christ, well, they're condemned anyway. They do not have any of the spiritual blessings that God wants us to have. And really, God wants everybody to repent and come to a knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. So it is all upon each one of us to obey God or to not obey God. And no one can be a police force as far as enforcing that, nor not enforcing that. What we must do is just teach the Word of God and let God be God and let the judge be the judge, because He's going to sort it all out anyway. What He's called us to do is just teach His Word and leave the applications up to every single individual. Hopefully that has been helpful to you. Thank you so much. Again, that was Colossians chapter 2. And verses 11 and 12 that answered most of the parts of those questions. Thank you again. Again, the number is 308-9564. Can you squeeze another one in?
Yes, I can. Mr. Youngblood calls in with a question about something we talked about earlier. He says, are you saying women pastors are in error and are they going to hell? And I guess evidently he knows one that he says she is an anointed woman of God. What?
It's not me that says that.
That's right.
I just, whenever somebody asks me that question, I all of a sudden just step back and say, oh, no, don't listen to me. But we do want you to listen to God. And what did God say?
Well, God said, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, because this has a direct bearing on the passage. Verse 34 says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. So everybody's got to look at that passage and say, well, if I want to do something opposite of that, something different than what that says, does that make me in error? And that would be my understanding of that. If anytime I go against God's word, I'd be going in error. And as far as the judge will do about that, well, I'm not the judge. And Ricky, you just said that he's not the judge. And there's only one judge, and that's God. And we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in our body. So people will give an account to God about whether or not they have been true and faithful to his word. And we just read 1 Corinthians 14 concerning that. And so I would also comment about the anointed part. Many people have great blessings and opportunities and abilities, but that doesn't always mean that you need to do and exercise those in opposition to what God said and the parameters that God gave. Just because you can doesn't mean you should if God's word says different. So we appreciate the question, Mr. Youngblood. We encourage you to study more upon this passage and about the role of women and how God would use them.
We want to encourage you. This is the last opportunity to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course, so don't miss out on this last segment, and we will be glad to send that to you free of charge. You may discover things in God's Word that you've never seen before, and when we send it to you in the mail, you can study that anytime you want to. If you're a night owl or a morning glory, then you can study it whenever you want, and then you just fill it out, send it back to us, and we'll continue back and forth till you finish the course, and as you finish, we'll send you a nice certificate to show you our appreciation for your participating in that. So don't miss out on that. Here's an opportunity for you. That number again is 553-5157. Those lines are available right now. Go ahead and call 553-5157 for the free Bible Correspondence Course. Now, as we are at break, you can continue to call in your question. I think we only have two on deck. So go ahead and call in your question. We can answer it in this last segment if you will go ahead and communicate right now. The voice line, 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We're having a great time here looking and studying the scriptures with you, and we appreciate so much your participation in this and your interest. I tell you, it's such an encouragement to know your interest. And I tell you what's even more encouraging. It's when we get to see you and meet you face to face. Every time we've had one of these meetings, it has been a real thrill for us personally to get to meet the people who send in questions. And so we give you another opportunity to do that, and that's going to be this weekend, January 31st and February 1st. That's a Friday and Saturday evening. 6:30 p.m. is our time. It's going to be at 105 Maryland Street in Goose Creek. That's where we meet, and that's where we have our services. And so it's off of James Avenue, the Verizon office right there on St. James, and that's Maryland Street. That's a girl's name, not the state. And so we encourage you to come out and visit with us. You'll have the opportunity to ask questions there as well. And so it is a great opportunity for both you and us to be able to be with each other and study God's Word. Such a wonderful, wonderful time.
We look forward to meeting you in person, and hopefully that we'll be able to do so in Goose Creek this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday, so don't miss out on that. We also want you to know that if you've never enrolled in the Bible Correspondence Course, if you are a new listener, we offer this course absolutely free. You can enroll in that right now by simply calling 553-5157, and it will be in the mail to you. We are glad to be able to send this to you. You are to, when you receive it, you're to fill it out, send it back in. We will grade it, send you the next lessons, which you will fill out and study. And be sure to look up all the verses of Scripture, make certain of these things, and then we will you send that back. We'll grade it and back and forth until you finish the course. And that's just the first course. We've got others that will be following up from there. And so please join in the scholarship. No, just learning things in God's Word that are being hidden from you in many places in the religious world. So please don't miss out on finding or discovering those things that the devil has been very effective at blinding people to. So let's go to the Bible, find the answers there. That number again is 553-5157 for the free Bible correspondence course. We have a text question from someone at the phone number, last three digits are 919. And their question is, do I need to be baptized again if I was made to do it as a child? Well, first of all, I would point you to, remember, we're supposed to just go to the Bible for the answers of all the questions. Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you did not do this by faith, then it is certainly not pleasing to God. It was not done by faith. If you did it because of any other motivation. I myself was baptized four times before I ever looked in God's word to find out what I should have been doing. And then when I was baptized in obedience to God in his word, I was never in need to be baptized again. And so that's what we have to do. But second of all, you need to make certain that whoever does this is doing it as the Bible says. There are probably well over a dozen different man-made reasons why they baptize in various churches. And so they'll use a verse of Scripture here and there, but they will not use them all. You will not get the whole picture. Well, we need to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and then obey God by the truth. And then it will be in obedience of baptism by the truth, by what God says, and then that will be the right form. One thing that is most often left out in these denominations, they say that many of them say, or most of them say, that baptism has nothing to do with saving a person. Well, God would disagree with that. Mark 16:16, he says, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. So it takes both of those elements. Acts 2 and verse 38, it says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Even Paul himself, when he was finally instructed after repenting and praying for 3 days, was told to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And so there we can see that there is sins were not washed away even after praying and fasting for 3 days. It was only when he died with Christ, as he explains it in Romans 6 and verse 3 and 4, that his sins were finally taken away. And he was baptized into Christ Jesus, and thus receiving the salvation that God wanted him to have. And that's exactly what God wants for us as well. And so I would encourage you, if you want more information or more discussion of this, then leave a message on the 553-5157. Call that and say, I want somebody to call me, and we'll be glad to follow up. And be glad to talk to you more about this. There's no sense in you going through this life with a question mark. You can become one of God's children, as God says, to be able to apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your sins as you die with him in baptism. And so just call that number, 553-5157, and say, I want someone to call me, and we will be glad to do that and help you with this very important question. Again, we're running quick on short of time, so we're going to hasten to get all these questions. Steve, you have one?
Yes, we had one from Gwendolyn, and Gwendolyn asks, is it okay to have baked sales in the church and give the money to the collection? Well, if we're asking about can I as an individual have a bake sale and give into the collection, well, certainly that similar things were done like that in the New Testament. Acts 2:45 and Acts 4:37, Barnabas sold a tract of land even and gave it to the collection. Acts 11:29, disciples gave as they had means to. But if you're asking, can the church sponsor a bake sale for ways of raising money, then we'd have to maybe look at that a little bit differently. Ricky talked about a passage in Romans 10:17. There's a valid principle there that says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Anything we do in our worship to God has to be on the basis of faith. That is, a revealed truth that we act upon. And what the Bible tells us about how the church raised money is, like these other passages we talked about, Acts 2:45 and Acts 4:37, individual members of the church contributed money from their pocket or raised it by selling something and then gave money into a treasury. That is the way in which it was to be done. In 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2, each person was to give as God has prospered them. So that is the only way in which the Bible teaches that a person can, how a church can raise its money. Otherwise, you know, where does the church start? Stop, rather. Can we have drive-in movies? In fact, I knew one church that built a movie theater as part of the church building and charged money for admission. I know churches that charge for their seminars or charge for their Bible studies. And that is not taught in the Scripture. So only the free will offering of the members is how the church raised its money. And Gwendolyn, we appreciate so much that question. And we got one last one, Ricky. We got time for one.
Yes, we've got Kathy's question here. Kathy called in this question and says, is there anywhere in the Bible that says not to get cremated? Well, Kathy, you're right there. There is nothing in the Bible that talks about cremation whatsoever. The only time it talks about that some bodies were destroyed or burnt by fire, it was God killing Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 10 and verse 2, where they had offered strange fire before the Lord, and God shot fire out from heaven and devoured them. And so there are places where God did devour people with fire in punishment. But as far as a way of disposing of the body, there's nothing in the Bible that says that it is right, nor is there anything that says that it is wrong. The truth of the matter is, Kathy, we are spiritual beings, and we only live in these tents, these bodies, for just a short time, and then we leave it behind. And so this body goes back to the dust which it came from, and our spirit goes to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and if I'm not mistaken, it's verse 8 that brings that out. And so it is the spirit that we are hoping for all of our listeners to straighten out as we go to the Bible for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. And if we're not right with God, then really nothing is going right. Many times as we go through this life, people say, "I've got this trouble and I've got that trouble and I don't know what to do. I'm just at wit's end on what to do." And many times as we talk, I find out what some of those troubles, well, they caused themselves because they were not listening to God. They were not seeking God's advice or God's counsel. And so the mistakes that they made were a product of their own decisions that they made. And no doubt, you desire the happiness and joy that our Creator really intended for us to have. It will only come by seeking after His guidance and His counsel. My friends, it will not come by seeking after physical things or money or popularity or the idea of the most toys, who dies with the most toys wins. That could never be a bigger lie on the face of the planet, but the devil would love for everyone to believe it. Yet the truth is, the only thing that will last will be the treasure that we lay up in heaven. So it will only be by yielding to our Creator's guidance, by obediently loving Him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind and strength. Learning also to be content with the things that we have in this life. And if we do that, and we find all our answers from God, not from church doctrines, not from pastors, not from feelings, not from family, But if we find all our answers from God's Word, we will let the Bible speak.